There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question, kiss my...
Yeah, maybe that's a question we could oppose to the legislative branch last night in Montgomery. Are you on drugs? 1207 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here. And a big show on the way. Lots to talk about with what went on yesterday in the sine die day and the end of regular session in Montgomery. We'll get to that here coming up in just a couple minutes. Also, I've got a couple stories standing. One of them from yesterday. I'm going to set this up. Well, two of them, like Jeff had talked about earlier in the show. This is the fact that they could not get something done here on just setting a standard to be reading at a third grade level by third grade is a shame and a disgrace what happened in Montgomery last night. So I'm going to say that one. And number two, while we just had a big discussion, Jeff and I did, about Slam Jiggity and Representative Gavan and all that. We'll talk about that with Todd Stacey coming up in a little bit. It's a pox on both houses. Why I can't just be a team player and a cheerleader? A pox on both houses. Of course, Gavan and Action Jackson were ridiculous last night. Behavior unbecoming. But also, this is like, I believe in conservatives' support. And listen, Republicans have the majority, supermajority can do this, for supporting Israel, okay? At the same, that's really at some level, there's a lot of how much, right? And that's one of the splits that people don't remember. Former President Trump talking about supporting Israel, but at the same time wasn't looking to get in every war. So how far do you go for support? But it's one of these bills that they'll bring up. It's like, and you don't dare vote against it because somebody who doesn't look into the nuance will go, oh, look at here, you like when they bring up the anti-Sharia law bills, you know, in the Alabama House and Senate. Y'all, I'm not pro-Sharia. I am anti, 100% anti-Sharia law. It's just not a threat right now in Alabama. If it was a threat and it was an issue, then they could take it on. But was it 2 years ago, I think, in legislature, they went to really tackle the anti-Sharia law? And I said, this is ridiculous. Not because I thought Sharia law was a good thing, but because I thought that was probably not the most important thing they could be doing in the legislature. Okay. Same thing with this the address of support for Israel. It's a good thing. I would, you know, it's a resolution, simple resolution supporting Israel, right? And once again, that Action Jackson and Representative Gavan with the giving you the your number one symbol and talking Slam Jiggity is ridiculous. They're ridiculous. But bringing up a bill like, do we have to do this? I mean, it's sine die day. There's nothing else you could use that time on. It leaves me scratching my head. All right. So, yeah, there's a lot to look at here in the rearview mirror as it is the end of regular session in Montgomery. Of course, the other part of this, after we go through the autopsy of yesterday on Goat Hill, we'll be looking at maybe what's next when we start talking about special session. And when I start talking about what's happening in Montgomery, I'm always helped out by my friend, and he is the man behind Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. It's Todd Stacey, and the crowd goes wild.
Hey, Sean, how's it going, man?
I'm good. Slam Jiggity to you.
Well, it was a Slam Jiggity kind of night at the State House. They went almost to midnight. I mean, I know you were listening, and I know a lot of people were, but, you know, I have to agree with what you've said. They had to know what they were going to get bringing a resolution like that. That really is, at the end of the day, is meaningless. And it could take away from other actual you know, productive legislation. I'm not surprised that they had some fireworks on that bill. I was surprised at how far those remarks went. I didn't know that we could have rhetoric in the State House like that. But
That's out of control. I'm not saying this is not 1940. People, this is not 1970. People, the decorum is not where it was. But at some point, come on, y'all, you're grown-ups.
Well, there's not a consequence to it, right? I mean, Representative Gavan's voters routinely send her back. She brags about how she gets a higher percentage of the vote than a lot of her colleagues. So there's not, you know, and that's after she's done the same kind of thing for years. And so there's no consequence at the ballot box to, you know, that kind of foolish behavior. And so if that's the case, they're going to keep doing it. But, you know, it wasn't all bad. I think, you know, they should be credited for some good things this year. The medical marijuana, you know, it's now law. I think a lot of people have come around on that issue, and you still had, you know, significant opposition, passionate opposition, but, you know, for it to pass overwhelmingly in the House and Senate, be signed by the governor, I think that's a pretty significant accomplishment. And there were many other bills, yeah, of course. Everybody gets hung up on gambling, but there were other issues as well.
Yeah, and I want to go in those. I want to go through what worked in this session and what didn't, which is your email that went out to everybody today. We'll talk about how to get signed up for that. But our friend Jeff Poore said this, and I think it may be telling to some degree. Republicans have a supermajority in both bicameral supermajority, and still you look at what didn't get passed, what got blocked by a super minority in the Democrats. The Republicans not, I mean, did they fail with, because it's not like it was a tight breakdown of votes. Having a supermajority, shouldn't they have done more? Didn't they fail on a lot of fronts here?
Well, they certainly failed on gambling, but that was always going to take two, you know, both sides to pass, just because there's significant Republican opposition to gambling. You know, they did well on the budgets. I'll give them credit on the budgets, especially education, where a lot more money is being targeted toward recruiting teachers and recruiting the kind of teachers we need. That's a really big problem in this state that only was made worse by coronavirus. So, you know, the budgets aren't sexy, but I'll credit the legislature with really doing a good job on targeted teacher incentives. Really, we've never done that before, and that's good. You know, one thing I thought was a real setback last night was that the legislature voted to delay the Literacy Act by 2 years.
Yep.
I was really shocked. Republicans cloistered on that. I mean, they shut off debate on that. And, I mean, I was shocked. You never would have seen that 10 years ago after Republicans took the majority. But the AEA, the Teachers Union, is back in the game. And so are the superintendents. And they're kind of running the show.
Okay, let's talk about this one. Let's talk about it in language regular, you know, folks like me can understand. So this is basically asking that a third grader be able to read at a third grade level before matriculating to fourth grade. Am I right?
That's correct.
Who in the, let me put it in also in some country vernacular, who in the hell is against that?
Well, it's a good question, especially considering that it doesn't go into effect for another 2 years, right? So it's not next year, but at the end of 2022.
It should go into effect yesterday, but nobody's asking.
Well, yeah. Well, the problem is we're graduating, we're passing kids along, right? They're getting to third grade, they're not reading at level, and so they're getting passed and passed and passed, and so we end up with high school graduates that really can't even read.
It's
so
malpractice. Malpractice.
We can't blame the Democrats because it's Republicans that passed that bill. Now, right. It was a Democratic bill, and so I'm writing right now about how the governor needs to veto that. She needs to pull out the pen and veto that bill and stand up.
Yep.
To this lack of accountability.
Who, I mean, so AEA comes, you know, we're not saying, well, I don't know what you're saying. I don't believe AEA is back like it was in the 1990s, but you're saying AEA's influence was felt in that yesterday. So AEA doesn't want children to be reading at a third grade level by third grade, I guess. And how did they get into the Republicans? How are the Republicans beholden to AEA now?
Well, when I say back in the game, I mean the money game. They have a very large PAC, and they are donating to the last campaign cycle. They donated to, I mean, lots and lots of Republicans. It used to kind of be taboo to accept money from AEA, but not anymore. So they're donating a ton of money, and you'll see it in this cycle too. But they don't want accountability for schools, right? They have consistently fought accountability measures, and so have the superintendents, right? So these lawmakers, they hear from their local superintendent that says, hey, we can't do this, man. The kids need more time to prepare. So they delay it by 2 years, even though coronavirus only lasted 1 year.
Yeah.
They're going to delay it by another 2 years. So it's a combination of the superintendents not wanting accountability and their influence combined with AEA, who has the campaign finance resources. It's kind of a double-headed, you know, beast.
Well, I mean, so if I'm running, if I'm in a primary, a Republican primary, right, and I'm running against somebody, I'm going to point out that my opponent is doing the bidding of AEA and taking AEA money, knowing, you know, in Republican primaries what that means. I think that that's going to be an albatross around the necks of Republicans.
Well, it certainly used to be. I mean, that was a, you know, a really bad thing for a Republican if they, you know, were beholden to the teachers union. I don't know if you can say that anymore, but you know, we at least, and I'm not saying AEA is bad about everything, right, but when it comes to accountability in schools, when it comes to things like this, to where we have to have some standards, reading, for God's sake,
yep,
they're always going to oppose it. And, you know, I'm not sure this current legislature, you know, really cares that much.
Well, that's sad for all they talk about. You know, the state loves to brag about a pre-K program, right? How great, it's a model for the rest of the country. Look at this pre-K program. Well, guess what? If something's happening between pre-K and third grade, or pre-K and graduation, and maybe we're looking at it.
Yeah, and I got to give credit to at least one person, Alan Baker, you know, who represents Bruton and down there in the south part of the state. He was a passionate advocate for this, and he fought on the House floor to try to talk sense into folks to say, we don't need to be delaying these standards. We need to, you know, implement them as written. He fought hard, and but was ultimately shouted down. And he's always been pro-teacher. He's always been pro-education worker, and he was the one fighting for it on the House floor. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see what the governor does, but, you know, I'm going to encourage her to veto it.
Yeah, and for what it's worth, oh no, actually, don't put my name on it. It'd be bad, but I second you on that as well. Before we run to the break here, too, let's talk about the things, you know, on the triage list that should be done. General fund, they got that passed?
It's passed. It's in very good shape.
Okay, so, and you know, you point out in your email, the lawmakers sent a record-setting $2.4 billion budget to Governor Kay Ivey for her approval. When I start thinking about that 2.4, what happened to the, what are we doing with the other $4 billion, you know, that we got from the feds? What are we doing with that?
Well, that, you know, that's pass-through money. Some of it is going toward, it's supposed to go toward capital projects. Some of it's supposed to go straight to schools. They just now got guidance from the Treasury Department. I think it was last Thursday or Friday. And so that's exactly what we've been asking. What's the plan? Mm-hmm. And so their finance department is kind of formulating this. If you remember back a year ago, it's kind of the same thing, you know, when they passed that CARES Act, and it just took a while to kind of figure it out. And so it's going to be the same this time around, except there's just a lot more money.
Yeah, I mean, it may be hayseed of me to pay attention to $4 billion, but hey, it's $4 billion.
Yeah, it's an enormous amount of money, twice almost what we have in the general fund. And I just don't think we're going to, at the end of the day, be able to spend it all. But I do know that there are some plans. They were meeting today, in fact, in the State House to talk about, you know, if we've got all these education funds coming, let's use it for after school. Let's use it for summer programs.
How about third grade reading?
Get kids back to, say what?
How about third grade reading?
Well, yeah. Well, you know, we know kids weren't in school for a year, or a lot of them weren't. Well, let's use that money for after school. Let's use it for summer school to get them caught up. Let's not waste this summer like we did the last year.
All right, coming right back, more with Don Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. We'll talk about his email and a lot more, what happened in Montgomery yesterday. And, you know, we like to look forward to what might be next. It's all straight ahead right here on Midday Mobile.
is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1224 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Continuing our conversation with Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. And what an email it was this morning, kind of breaking down the wins and losses in this legislative session. Todd, if somebody wants to grab that email, how do they get signed up?
Yeah, well, today was a good time to be signed up, but we've always got news coming out. Just go to aldailynews.com. That's the homepage. Click sign up at the very top. Enter your name and your email, and you'll be on the list.
Okay, one of my favorite subjects to get everybody all riled up about was one of civil asset forfeiture. Where'd we end up on that in this session?
They passed the bill. So they have reformed the process and the rules around how police, sheriffs and police, can seize somebody's property in the course of an arrest. This has been an issue going back really more than a decade, and you have groups out there that have really been pushing for more reforms than what passed. But this is kind of a compromise that between law enforcement and some of these advocacy groups that it kind of gets the ball rolling, meaning, you know, they can only confiscate up to a certain amount, and if it's just petty cash, they can't do that. So I encourage you to go read the story about some of the details in the legislation, because it may not be what advocates have really pushed for all along, but it's a start, and that's something I think is a good thing.
What did they decide on curbside voting?
So they passed a ban on curbside voting. Remember, we didn't do curbside voting in Alabama. You had a couple of counties, Jefferson, Madison, I think maybe Mobile too, wanted to do it. They wanted to do curbside voting, but after a lawsuit went forward in the state, the federal judge said we were not going to allow curbside voting. But this session, they wanted to go ahead and put that in the law, just codify it, a ban on curbside voting. So that passed, and I expect the governor to sign it.
There's a whole bunch more we'll talk about later on, things that passed, but I want to pick out things that did not pass. Emergency orders didn't pass.
Right, so there were several different bills kind of wanting to revisit how executive authority is running the state, including you had one that said, you know, any emergency order from the governor, which we've been under for a year, you know, that the legislature would have to come in and approve of that. Otherwise, it would go away. And so there were a lot of problems with the bill, including what Chris Pringle from down there pointed out, that, you know, if we mess around with these emergency orders, states of emergency, including in hurricanes and tornadoes, we could lose out on federal money, on federal disaster money. And that's, you start talking about that, it really spooks people out. So that bill failed, and that's probably a good thing.
What about the transgender shell nuts bill, or where are we with that?
Yeah, so it passed the Senate, and it was ready to pass the House, but they did not put it on the agenda. The first agenda, they put it on a kind of a midnight agenda at the very end, but they just ran out of time, did not get to it. So the bill that would prohibit minors from transgender treatments and surgeries, that has not passed the legislature.
So that they could still do that, the puberty blockers and all that, that's legal.
Right. Well, yeah, I don't, there's nothing in the law not making it illegal. So, yeah, there was a lot of dispute about how much it actually happens.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, that it would have had enough support in the House to pass. It just would have been filibustered to death. And that was kind of the issue they ran into at the very last minute.
And as we wrap here, 2 minute warning, gambling bill. What? So, I mean, is this dead? Is the body cold? Is this special session? Give me your take.
Well, I had one of the sponsors tell me that it was in the ICU, but still breathing. And it obviously crashed and burned in the House last Thursday or two Thursdays ago. There was an effort, though, this past week to revive it and to really get, you know, folks talking on what could pass and what couldn't. From what I understand, those talks have been very productive. So the question becomes, you know, do they have enough support to convince Governor Ivey to call a special session and to get this wide-ranging gambling bill done? She doesn't really like special sessions. She doesn't like calling them.
Unless it's gas tax.
Well, yeah, and unless she's convinced that she can be successful. And so that, I think that's the measure. if they can say, hey, we got 70 votes in the Senate and the House, and we've got 25 votes in the Senate. So that's a good question. I would call it, you know, maybe 70-30 that she'll call a special session.
Okay. Todd, as always, we appreciate your reporting from Montgomery, and we'll keep it up next week. So thanks for checking in.
All right, man. You'll be good.
Will do. Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. We're coming right back. Get your calls at 343-0106. How do you score this legislative session? Do you give them a... Atta girl, atta boy, good job, nice hustle, or man, you really stunk it up. What do you think?
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Yeah, I mean, Dalton, if we can find somebody who can do that, the remix, that would be good. Who was that? Blackstreet. Blackstreet. No Diggity. I was thinking about, I'm sorry. Hey, welcome back. It's Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. I'm Sean. Our phone number, 343-0106. I'm just thinking about Representative Gavan saying slam chiggity yesterday, and I'm just obsessed with this term that I don't know, but I'm thinking we could redo No Diggity. Remember No Diggity and Children of the 90s? We could redo that to Slam Chiggity. It'd be a fun song, summer song. You know what's fun to do? Just a side note, we're going to get back into contentious, divisive politics in just a second, but what's fun, if you have teenagers and you're on the way to school driving carpool like I do, I like to find a song that's really bad and say, kids, this is going to be the summertime hit. And then I lecture them how many decades their father was in rock and roll radio. I'm like, this right here, number one song. This is a song y'all are going to be partying to this summer. And if you're right, then the kids won't party to it because dad said it. Just like my idea, like how you stop vaping in the kids is all of us dads, like wear our New Balance shoes and our jorts out there and our golf shirt and go, even if we're not really vaping something, we pretend like we're vaping to make it like the most uncool thing ever. And if there's a song you think you don't want the kids partying to, you say, yeah, kids, that's going to be the number one song this summer. That's hot. That is a hot track, kids. And watch them go, oh. You tell your kid, it's a hot track right there. It's going to be number one. And watch them cringe. All right. We got mask on the way, by the way, too. As we've got, you know, mask orders, whatever you want. Yeah, play your hand. We got mask orders, no mask orders, semi-mask orders. I don't know if there's any mask orders you wear just over your mouth and leave your nose out. Which to me, I still have a whole thing about that. If you're going to wear the mask, wear the mask. If you're not going to wear the mask, don't. This, like, chin hammock thing, this half mask, nose hanging out. But we're going to get to Fauci's comments on the mask in just a second. You're going to want to hear this. But I'll stick with state stuff for just a second. Just a second here. So we talked to Todd Stacey, you know, a little bit about what was done or not done in the legislative session, and wondering how you score this thing. Did you score? Did they need to get gambling through to win? Did they need to get the transgender treatment bill through to win? The emergency orders? I mean, or is that good? Were they good? Because there were some wins. There were some wins in there, but not where you think they would have been coming into this, having 2 years worth of pent-up, you know, legislative fire. And we'll, by the way, coming up at 1 o'clock, we'll talk to State Senator Chris Elliott more about this. But, I mean, you got the delay in the Literacy Act. I think that's a big fail. If y'all couldn't tell earlier in the hour, that bothers me. That AEA, and I would love to hear, I know there's a rep I've had on before locally from AEA. If you're listening, I'd love to have you back on to explain to me why we can't say, hey, we need a standardized test that you read at the third grade level by the time you graduate third grade. Now, and I think Jeff mentioned it earlier, if there's learning disabilities and all that, then fine. Let's find, you know, ways to help them in special curriculum, to help them in special class and a track. Because if you have a learning disability, doesn't mean you're not smart, right? So there's a way to address that. But you're going to hold everybody back in fourth grade because little Shawnee can't read. Didn't learn reading. He can't follow along with the history lesson or the social studies or the math lesson because he can't write. He can't read. Okay, that's not cruel. You know what's cruel is educational malpractice and moving those children along. That's cruel. That's the cruel side of it. And how they just said, well, you know, we got, and we're going to do this, and it's going to be 2 years, and It should be yesterday. Remember, we got this big thing we always talk about in the state, how great our peak pre-K program is. Leading the nation, pre-K, it's fantastic. I love that. That's great. So what happens? Where's the breakdown come from pre-K to graduation? Maybe it happens at the third grade. Quite possibly that's where it happened. Oh, also, the yoga bill yesterday, lawmakers approved legislation to lift the state's decades-old ban on yoga in public school, even though the bill's sponsor said lawmakers added language he thought was foolish and unneeded. House of Representatives voted 75-14 to approve Senate changes to the bill. Now goes to Governor Ivey's desk to get the signature, or not, we'll see. Democrat Representative Jeremy Gray, the bill's sponsor, attempting to allow public schools to offer yoga and override a 1993 ban on yoga that was approved by the state school board under pressure from conservative groups. You worried about yoga? I'm more worried about them not reading. Like, if they could, how about this would be the deal? Y'all want to have the kids do yoga in school or have that as an option for PE? Then make sure the third graders can read. When the third graders can read, I'm not afraid of the yoga, but I'm going to hold that out. I'm not going to let you have yoga until we have third graders reading. I wonder how that would have gone through yesterday. Would I have gotten flipped off by Representative Gavan? Probably. All right. And also, they said the final move last night of the legislative session, they ensured it's a COVID restaurant relief. Here's this, and restaurant owners and people who work at restaurants, listen up here. So Alabama legislature ensured that restaurant owners do not have to pay state income taxes on their newest round of COVID-19 federal relief. Senator Dan Roberts, Republican out of Mountain Brook, earlier in the session sponsored a bill to clarify a tax code to ensure restaurant grants in the Biden administration's $1.9 trillion American Rescue Plan don't raise a state income tax liability for the owners. It would also have untaxed the plan's enhanced child tax credit, earned income tax credit, and child dependent tax credit. By the way, we're going to get to the children and the money here in just a second. Goes on to say, but the bill did not move because legislative leaders said it could wait until a special session later this year or even in the early 2022 session. I guess because the tax implication wouldn't happen until that point. How does that make you feel, restaurant owners? Just wait. You'll be good. How about people who work for a family-owned restaurant? Roberts instead got the restaurant language on his existing HB 227 to allow for the income tax credit for the construction of storm shelters. How that affects the restaurant owners, I don't know. Roberts said the Alabama restaurants are expected to receive about $426 million in grants, and if lawmakers didn't act, the businesses will be taxed on that money. So there's some of what happened and didn't happen yesterday in the session. And I mentioned the money thing. I said this yesterday, and I know Dan and Dalton talked about it this morning. And in fact, actually had my phone ring with folks asking me about what I was talking about. Okay, here's what happened yesterday. So it was the newest, part, I guess, attention being brought to the newest part of the $1.9 trillion COVID relief bill. President Joe Biden yesterday had this to say.
I'm announcing today that on July 15th and the 15th of every month thereafter throughout the year, you will get deposited in your bank account half of your tax cut, at least $250 per child each month.
Okay, and the idea that it's a tax cut, come on. It's an upfront payment, okay? You don't have to do this, that, or that. You don't have to file your taxes to then receive the money in bulk. So the child tax credit starts next month. No, I'm sorry, starts July, mid-July, according to the IRS. And here's how it works. So if you have children, what was it yesterday? Six and under, they get $300 per child each month. So if you got older children, which I don't get this, and maybe they're saying because of daycare issues, but if the children are above six, I guess should be in school, you get $250. So the difference is $50 for child care. Anybody who's had their children in child care is laughing. Yeah, $50. It gets you a day? What is that? Okay, so the tax credit's going to be paid each month, $250 if your children are 6 to 17, $300 if your children are under 6 or under. And here's the limits are just like it was kind of for the stimulus money. So if you're single, filing single, you got to earn, you make $75,000 or less, you can qualify for that for the children. $150,000 or less, or less for the married couple. The amounts will phase out above the levels of your AGI, caps of $200,000 for single and $400,000 for couples. But yeah, you have kids, get money. So that's part of it. All right, when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about that. Get your calls. And then what Fauci had to say to Stephanopoulos earlier about the mask. We'll get to that all straight ahead right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
I bet you they talk about this tomorrow night on the Scuttlebutt Radio Network. That's a 8 o'clock show for veterans by veterans. Two of the Marines around here, Cal and Tom. You know the show, right? Pretty darn good guys. This is happening, coming up. They call it a pig roast. So I got this from Tom Claxton, our buddy. But they're doing this through the P.L. Wilson Detachment, number 447 Marine Corps League. Pig roast going on. They said, make your plans to purchase your Boston butt pork roast. Okay, I'm making plans. I like that. The members of the P.L. Wilson Detachment of the Marine Corps League are having a sale to celebrate Memorial Day for only $30 each. Now, let me tell you right now, you don't have to Navistar or whatever that is, a charity navigator. These are good people. These are local folks. They do right. They're Marines. They're really a fantastic bunch. And the money's going to where they say they're doing it. Your purchase helps raise funds for the Veterans Helping Veterans program. And to boot, we're going to get a Boston butt for the big weekend. If you're going out snapper fishing or going to just party in the backyard on Saturday, whatever you're going to do. So it's the extended weekend with Memorial Day on Monday. You get your orders in. Now, you can do this. I'll tell you what, you can probably text us. I can give you Tom's number, Tom Claxton's personal cell number, which is just, that'll be fun, which is 767-8489. But if you're riding down the road or whatever, if you get us on the text line, we give you the information. So once again, it is the P.L. Wilson Detachment of the Marine Corps League. They're selling Boston butts, $30 each, with the proceeds going to benefit the Veterans Helping Veterans program. And you pay up, and then you pick up on Saturday the 29th from noon to 2 at the American Legion Post 88 on Halls Mill. Once again, more information on that. You could just look for the P.L. Wilson Detachment of the Marine Corps League on Facebook or online, or just send us a note to the text line and we'll get you the information. So if you're planning ahead for the next weekend, not this week, the next weekend, you can get that hooked up. All right. I saw this little gem, and I actually saw the story, and then I see people talking about it right now on social media. This is a interview where Tony Fauci was talking with George Snuffleupagus, and they're talking about the mask. I mean, it's like a 45-second clip. Y'all check this out. This is a discussion of the mask. Here's Fauci saying about wearing the mask indoors when you're vaccinated, what he knew, what he thought, why he did. Well, here he is.
Eight and others are not.
How is it?
Here it is.
Eight and others are not.
How has it changed what you do when you wear a mask?
Excuse me,
how has it changed what you do? How has it changed your mask wearing practices?
Well, you know, George, I'm obviously careful because, I mean, I'm a physician and a healthcare provider. I am now much more comfortable in people seeing me indoors without a mask. I mean, before the CDC made the recommendation change, I didn't want to look like I was giving mixed signals. But being a fully vaccinated person, the chances of my getting infected in an indoor setting is extremely low. And that's the reason why in indoor settings now, I feel comfortable about not wearing a mask because I'm fully vaccinated.
Finally, I know the president.
Okay, let's get this right. And I'm putting this up on my Twitter feed. You can go grab the retweet of this from Good Morning America today. So Fauci says, don't you know Rand Paul is doing the Cabbage Patch right now? Going, I told you so. So Fauci says that for the last some period of time, he's been wearing the mask for show because he's fully vaccinated. And he knew that the chances of a fully vaccinated person getting, this is indoors too, in an indoor setting, which means if it's true for indoor, it's even more true for outdoor, extremely low. So, I mean, in so many words, and I don't think I'm reading between the lines, Fauci basically says, I was acting. I have been acting. I have been doing a show. I've been pretending something is that it isn't. So there you go. So Fauci's saying, hey, if you've been vaccinated, I mean, what is the part? This goes back to what Senator Paul had asked of Fauci weeks ago. I mean, what's the point? What's the desire and drive to get vaccinated? Yeah, I know, for the good of everybody else, but it's also for the good of the human being that gets vaccinated, right? If they get vaccinated, they go through the process, they get the two vaccines or whatever, they're vaccinated now. Now they can carry on with things without a mask. Fauci had been wearing masks and showing, oh, I got the mask. Even Fauci saying, yeah, I was just kind of doing that because I didn't want to send mixed signals. So in other words, the truth in his life was that once you were vaccinated, you were okay to be there. I just want to point that out. You know, I don't know where that falls in your scorecard of, you know, being anti-vaccine or pro-everything government. I think it falls in the middle where most people live and say, okay, you get the vaccine. Now they got the vaccine. Why do I have to wear the mask? And even Fauci said, well, I was doing it, you know, to not send mixed signals. So there you go. Although if you think everything Fauci says is a lie, then where does that leave you? If everything Fauci says is a lie, then are you not safe after the vaccine? Interesting. Also, if you go to the Twitter feed, and maybe we can grab this one and put this up on our Facebook and elsewhere, saw this from Baldwin County EMA. They have put this out, said, do you know someone who could use a hand with repairs from Hurricane Sally or Zeta? Hashtag Baldwin Together Long-Term Recovery Group is available to help. You can apply online. It's UnitedWay-BC, I'm sure, for BaldwinCounty.org. You go in there and it says Hurricane Sally Long-Term Recovery. And it's if you still have issues you're dealing with there, don't think there's any help out there for getting things fixed or trees moved and all that, there is help. So good for you, United Way of Baldwin County and Baldwin County EMA putting that out. So we'll get that info up. If you know somebody or maybe it's you that needs that help, it is out there. All right, let's see. Brandon says, so since I have three kids under 11, I have an extra $750 for boat payments for the rest of the year. Not only that, Brandon, President Biden says he wants this to go through 2025. So if you want to step up, you know, if you were thinking this kind of money could help you with that 32, I would go for a 39. I go for 30, and if you can get the engines, go ahead and get, you know, get brand new engines as well on that boat. But so, Brandon, it's $250. So the Biden plan says if your children are older than six, you get $250. Younger than six, $300. So there you go. Dalton says he's got business to do at home. It's going to be worth some money. So I don't know. You leaving early? But yeah, there's the money. So I would say if you've got those kids that are, let's say they're under six, Brandon, I would step up to 39. All right. This unnamed texter says this tax credit that Biden has passed is another way to legitimize the American worker getting screwed again. There is too much abuse by these professional, sorry, you know what, people that get government assistance already. The Biden administration is using the tax credit as a way to buy votes. Well, sure. 2024 can't get here quick enough to vote this sorry, you know what, out of office. That is Sam checking in. Thank you, Sam. I appreciate it. And Sarah Land checking in. It's Sam, I'll say this. If the money was going to go, this is back like on the stimulus checks. If there was somebody through no fault of their own had lost their job and their business had gone away, they were in the, you know, you could say bar and restaurant, although that's coming back. But let's say they're in some state, not like ours, some state that's still like locked down or just barely opening up. I could argue that they need help for their children and getting their, I see that. But if you have, but everybody's going to get it. Who's under $75,000 as a single or $150,000 for a couple. Everybody's going to get the check for their kids. I've asked this of so many politicians in here, like, how do you run against that? I mean, I would like to think that people would get it, say, hey, we're vote for fiscal conservatism, vote for liberty. But on the general election stage, somebody will say, yeah, but they're giving me money. So how about that? All right, coming right back. State Senator Chris Elliott joins us next.